He's the star. All you are is a reflector. Isn't that something? For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you'd be Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. If we're Christ, then Abraham is our father and Sarah was our mama. Praise God. Pretty good parents. I claim them. I'm closer to them. I am Adam and Eve. They're just my natural parents. But Abraham and Sarah is my spiritual parents. And yours too. If you put on Christ. Praise the Lord. And then you go over to the book of James. We get some more about our parents. Wouldn't you like to hear about your forefathers? My, they're wonderful forefathers. A lot better than them you were born with and around. I love old Brother Thompson and Sister Duggar's got a wonderful papa. But I tell you, I like Abraham for my papa better. Praise God. Well, Abraham's even Brother Thompson's papa. Isn't that wonderful? All right, in the third chapter of the book of James, speaking about the righteousness of Christ, that must be a projection in our life. And you don't see me or you, but we. Did I say the second chapter? James 2. Beginning in verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. So that didn't get you very far, did it? Ain't much righteousness in that. All right. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That didn't get you to perfection either. Okay, let's go a little further. By now we get down and be like our father. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And if Abraham was a good father and put his son on the altar, don't you think we as good fathers and mothers will still put our sons and daughters on the altar likewise? Yes, you will. You're going to project the image of Christ. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Oh, yeah, perfect. Getting like Jesus. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He had the image of Christ everywhere he went. Oh, I love to read about old Abraham. He'd go out there when Sarah died to the sons of Heth. He bowed himself down low in the gate and said, hear me, my lords. Said, if I found favor in your sight, speak to the sons of Heth and that they'll give me the cave in the outer field of Machpelah for a burying place that I may put my dead out of my sight. And they said, nay, but thou art a great prince among us. We'll give you the field. No, I don't want to give it. I want to buy it. And he bowed himself again to the sons of Heth and to the inhabitants of her city. Everywhere he went, he showed a spirit of grace and wisdom and long-suffering. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He projected the righteousness of God, and he was the projection that pleased God. And we've got to be like Abraham. And he was called what? The friend of God. Lord, James talks about two fellows. A friend of God and an enemy of God. Hold your place. In James 4:4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If Abraham's your father and you walk in the steps of that faith, a faithful Abraham, then you project Jesus and you're a friend of God. I like being a friend. These old worldly Christians are enemies of God. Ever hear that old song? I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. Praise the Lord. And it goes on in that song, my friend I'll recommend. I tell you, want to be a friend. Abraham was a friend because he had faith that wrought with his works, and by his works, his faith was made perfect, and he believed God, and he received that righteousness which was by his faith, and he was called a friend of God. Then James puts it in a capsule in verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now don't crow about your old faith. Your faith has got to be tried and tested, and there's got to be some works resulting before you're justified and become a friend of God and project the real Jesus. I tell you, Jesus was the busiest fellow that was alive in his day. God have mercy. Acts 10:38 said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And he was always going and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was always busy. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she'd received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. These guys, they quote Romans about being imputed. I got righteousness, I'm imputed. I got righteousness, and it's been imputed. The Bible explains it right here. You can't believe just one scripture. You got to take them and put them together. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a verse and there a verse. And you put it together, and then you got to take James and put it side by side with Romans, where the Bible teaches over there justification by faith. James comes along. He's not undoing the works of Paul. Paul wasn't trying to instruct us. Paul wasn't trying to assure us of having eternal salvation with an old dead faith either. Paul is just writing what the Holy Ghost gave him. And then here comes along James, a brother of Jesus, and with a magnification of what Paul preached, he writes this epistle and magnifies the message of justification by faith. And through works, our faith becomes perfected and we become like Abraham. Oh, both of them writes about Abraham and his faith. James brings it about his works and how that his works made him the projection of righteousness that God accepted, and he became a true friend of God. And likewise, it shall be with you and I. In Romans 8 and 4, Paul said that the righteousness of God might be that the righteousness of the law. Now, there is a righteousness of the law. That the righteousness of the law might be in us who fulfill not the flesh or walk in the flesh but the Spirit. When God puts His laws in our minds and our hearts, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in the folks who don't live in the flesh but walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking right on target with the laws of God, because they've been written in our hearts and in our minds. The word righteousness means the result of acting in accord with divine and moral law. That's what the dictionary says. The result of acting in accord with divine and moral law, arising from being morally right or justifiable, which arises from an outraged sense of justice and morality. What in the world enrages a person and causes us to give up our sins? It's the conviction of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you get enraged about sin with a righteous rage, is for the Holy Ghost to stir you up and convict you first of yours, and then makes you fear God and look out and hate evil all around you. And that kind of projection that Jesus projected in his day was a projection of fearing God. And that fear of God caused him to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth. He hated it. And the Bible said we must hate it, or we're not going to have the real projection of the real Jesus or the real Bible. Praise God. We've got to have that projection. The projection, Paul said, was pleasing to God is given in one word. That is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 20.
But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you've put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise God. When we've got...